Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the RIP to our podcast. I know it's been a very long time. I think November was the last episode, but we are still here. We are still around. We aren't going anywhere, and we are back. We aren't all back. We have had a lot of technical difficulties today, so there's only two of us. So I'm Gary, one of the tour guides, and joining me is another tour guide, Ash. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Gary, I was one of the fortunate few who didn't have any tech issues this morning, so I am here, but how are you doing?
I'm good. Excited to be back podcasting. I have really missed it. We suck, basically. We haven't done a good job of podcasting. We came back in November, and then it just got Christmas, and then it was my birthday, and we just could never get schedules to line up. So it's been a very busy time, but I think this is going to kickstart our 2023 season 3 of the show. And hopefully the next episode, all four of us can be back. But we just have a little bit of a mini episode today, so no biggie that all of us aren't here. We left it a little bit late, didn't we, to do a Chucky announcement episode, Ash?
Yeah.
So today we're just going to talk about Chucky. Ash, the historian, has put together a history of Chucky at Halloween Horror Nights, which is awesome. So you can get a little bit of background. And Chucky features a little bit more than you might actually think. So before we get in with that, should we play the announcement video just for the audio?
Yeah, let's give it a listen.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Boom! Yeah, that's right. I'm back. And I'll see you suckers at Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights next year.
An all-new haunted house inspired by the hit USA sci-fi series Chucky is coming in 2023 to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Orlando Resort and Universal Studios Hollywood.
I can't wait to play.
And catch new episodes of Chucky Wednesdays at 9 on USA and sci-fi.
That was a pretty cool video, right?
Yeah, the video was great, and I think the timing when they dropped it was the final night, wasn't it?
I know, I was not expecting an announcement. It shocked us, but it was really awesome to have an announcement for 2023 while we were still in 2022. It was really cool.
Yeah, and I think getting that big IP as well is, a big plus also, because that's checked off the box now, the big IP. So what do you think, just in Chucky or Child's Play or the franchise in general? Are you a fan?
I haven't seen all of them, I will admit that. I think I've seen 1 and 2, the original movies, and I absolutely love the TV show. I've actually just started season 2 today, but I loved, we binged season 1 every week when that came out. We were watching it the night it was aired. Absolutely loved it, and I'm excited. I like Chucky, I love the whole 80s, I class him as like an 80s slasher. but I really like the Chucky theming. I know people laugh because there's always Chucky merch at Horror Nights and he hasn't featured and stuff like that, but I think this year, obviously with him being there, the Chucky merch will be justified. What's your thoughts?
I'm not a huge fan of the Child's Play franchise itself. It doesn't really do too much to me as a horror icon, Chucky, but I know me and you were talking off air, the fact that it's coming from the actual TV show is a huge plus, because we'll touch about the TV show at the end. We're going to kind of give a spoiler-free kind of breakdown of, the TV show so far, because that's what the source material is, right?
But
I'm really happy, just because Chucky in general, it can get lost a little bit, because I think on prior scare zones and mazes, they've taken bits from Child's Play 1, Child's Play 3, Bride of Chucky. So a lot of it just kind of gets lost in translation, if you will, when they're trying to convey a story. But the fact that it's coming from an actual TV show, I think that's a good move.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And they were advertising the Chucky TV show around the parks anyway.
But
I liked it. There was a lot of good kills in the TV show, which we'll touch on later. But Ash, you're the history guy. Tell everybody when Chucky's been at Horror Nights.
Yeah, so in terms of Chucky and in terms of recency, we've had photo ops in the park. We've had the Good Guy Burgers, more recently this year's Horror Nights. And like you said, he's always seems to fall on merchandise that he doesn't even feature, that year. of the event itself as well. So he's always kind of been part of Horror Nights, but he goes way, way back, right to the very, very beginning, even back to Fright Nights in terms of their marketing and advertising, and not just Orlando as well. It's Hollywood, Japan. So he is used extensively in like the lore and the history of Halloween Horror Nights. We're going to touch on the brief history. We're going to focus on Orlando because that is our park, if you will. That's our Horror Nights. And then I'll kind of go over a little brief description of the other parks at the end. But so Chucky initially was advertised prior to Fright Nights, because when they were advertising to newspapers and local radio broadcasts, what they said is they're going to use... Universal basically said, listen, we own horror, basically. We had, you know, the original icons of horror. We had Frankenstein, Dracula, all that stuff back in the day. They basically said they not invented horror, for lack of a better term, but they're using their big, big broad catalogue of horror dating all the way back to like the early 1900s. Now, there was a promo piece from Universal Studios, and it was October the 22nd of 1991. So this was about a week before Fright Nights, because Fright Nights only fell for 3 days over the weekend. And it's a picture outside the Base Motel, and it's Frankenstein, it is Herman Munster, and it's actually Eddie holding a doll of Chucky as well outside, which is really, really cool, because Chucky was not featured in the actual marketing of it. And it was also on a poster as well. You can see the poster I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I've seen
for a good Halloween party.
Yes, I've seen this picture before, but I never noticed Chucky in his basically front and centre. I never noticed him.
So because we're an audio podcast, we're not on YouTube, what we're actually looking at here right now is like a newspaper clipping, and it shows basically an introduction of Fright Nights, and it's the characters, and there's a poster, and it says dying for a good Halloween party, and it's got the usual, it's got the Universal Monsters, Gilman's on there, Frankenstein, Beetlejuice, who actually did feature in Fright Nights, but then we have Chucky in the background. Like you said, you could easily miss him, couldn't you?
Yeah, I'll share these on Twitter once the show's uploaded, so everyone can see what we're also looking at. But that's such a cool poster.
It really is. I mean, if they could sell this as a print, this is really good, because it has little black and white clip-ins with, you know, little phrases on there, which is really, really cool. And also, Chucky was also featured in the Dungeon of Terror maze as well, like the initial maze. Which was, again, going all the way back to Fright Nights. You wouldn't even think about Chucky in there. After that, in 1995, which was Halloween Horror Nights 5, he was reported to have been, because obviously we don't have great footage back then, there was a maze called Universal House of Horrors, where it was a dual path. The one was kind of old, classic monsters, you know, your Universal monsters. Another one was your more modern horror, like your Michael Myers, your Chucky. So he was featured in the modern, quote-unquote, side of that. Also, this is probably one of my favourite features of Chucky. It was in 1998, Halloween Horror Nights 8 was the Festival of the Dead Parade, and Chucky had his own float.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and again, we can link this as well, but it says the Bride of Chucky on the side, the Tiffany doll and Chucky doll is on there. Chucky's head's part of the float as well. The skeleton's on there, and there's like actual dancers on the float as well who are dressed as like puppets, if you will. I'm just going to Google really quickly. I just want to know when Bride of Chucky came out, because if it was like 1998, 1998 it was released, so that makes sense. So that's a bit of a promotional marketing right there for them.
Oh, definitely. I'm just going to say, like, I want them to bring a parade back so bad. It would be, looking at this float here, how cool would it be to see some huge IPs like just going around a park on a parade?
Yeah, and then them throwing, like, they used to throw out the coins and the beads from there as well to patrons as well. I can remember as well, and I don't know if I read this or I heard this maybe on another show or maybe a YouTube video, but Mike Aiello was asked this question at a convention.
Yeah.
Talking about would we ever get a return of the Festival of the Dead Parade? And he said he loves the parades, he'd love to bring them back, but logistically it could be a nightmare with the amount of foot traffic that's in there now.
Oh, I can 100% see that, even though we had, you know, more space last year, especially like, you know, like the Sweets Revenge to set the floats up.
Yeah.
Trying to get them through a crowd and trying to even clear a crowd would just be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, logistically, like you said, I think it will be a nightmare, but yeah, you never know. 1 year, you never know. And then 1 year later, we had Halloween Horror Nights' first ever 3D maze. It was Universal's Creature Feature. And this was their, basically, it was a 3D maze. It was the chroma depth. You know, they painted the walls, the different colors for the chroma depth glasses. And this included very similar classic monsters and more modern icons. And this was, like I said, a landmark maze because it was Horror Nights' first ever 3D house. I think I think you'll agree with that. What they always do, they do a good use of using their own properties to their advantage as well, if that makes sense.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. And then also we had a scare zone that was named Nightmare Alley that was located in Shrek Alley as well. And this had a Roman Chuckies around there. This was just basically slasher icons. This was supposed to have another name, but because of the actual nature of the event, that the name of the I think it was supposed to go Slasher Alley originally, but the year it was changed drastically, it changed to Nightmare Alley. Basically just slasher icons walking around, just interacting with guests. And we do have a picture of that as well, which we can link. See Chucky looking at you there through the fog, Gary. You see him?
Yeah, creepy. Yeah. That's so creepy.
Perfect. And then we get Chucky's biggest appearance. So this was Halloween Horror Nights 19. It was ripped from the silver screen, which was the Usher's year. Usher was the icon this year. Now, bit of a strange one in terms of marketing and advertising, because Chucky was sort of a mini icon or mascot, along with, you know, Billy Jigsaw from Soul, like that puppet with the spiral cheeks.
Yeah.
And then Universal's The Wolfman. So this was the Wolfman remake. And it was a bit of a funny one because, like I said, it was the Usher's year, but the Chucky, Saw, and Wolfman were all featured on marketing. They were also on the event guides. They were on merchandise, and they actually featured on the commercial as well. The commercial that "Let's all go to the lobby." That one. Yeah, so they all featured on. Yes, exactly. And they were also featured on some promo pre-marketing with the Usher itself as well. So Chucky, right? He was on the marketing, the event guides, merchandise, and commercial. Do you consider him an icon, or is it more of like a Crypt Keeper type thing, where it's like kind of like a mascot for the year?
It's like a Crypt Keeper situation, I would say. Do you agree or do you disagree?
I think I would say so, especially because the Usher was used this year anyway as like the actual icon, and all the mazes from that year, including, so I'm going to go into it, Chucky did have a maze that year as well. The Usher story tied in to Chucky's kind of maze. So yeah, it did have a maze that year. It was called Friends Till the End, and this was in Sprung Tent 1, and it was the good guy's box that you went into for the maze. And obviously, we won't go into full details about the house because we'll probably save that for our history episodes, but I'll just read you just a brief description of what the house says. So it says, "Ever wonder what happens when good toys go bad? Chucky has been hard at work tinkering with your favorite childhood playthings. Nothing is what it seems as you step inside and experience what it's like to live in Chucky's world. This is no child's play." So that one took basically features from prior movies, like Friends Till the End. It was okay. It wasn't my favorite mazes. That was tied in from the Usher's story. But yeah, that was in a Sprung Tent that year as well. So Horror Nights 19, huge impact in terms of his, I guess, featuring at the event. So 19 was a big one. Now, all the things I've already gone over, people won't even realize that he's been prior to 19, probably, because he's, you know, he's kind of featured here and there. The big one is probably the float, right? From the
definitely from
the parade, and he's just got little cameos, if you will, here and there. So people think, you know, Halloween Horror Nights 19 was his first major appearance, but no, he was a lot before that. But 19 was the very, very big one. And then after that, the actual doll of Chucky, because prior he was used as the actual physical roaming character, the doll, just the doll of Chucky, was featured as more of like an Easter egg in two coming mazes. We had the Hallowed Pass maze, which was 20, Halloween Horror Nights 20. That was almost like a best of house, and the doll was there. And also Dollhouse of the Damned, Horror Nights 24 as well, the doll was in there. And also the Billy doll, I think, was featured in there as well. Now we move ahead a few years. This would be Horror Nights 25. You did go to 25. Did you do the scare zones at 25? Did you go around everything?
Yeah, I did everything at 25, yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I thought so. So Horror Nights 25, we had, you know, the All Night Die in double feature in San Francisco.
Yep, that was a cool zone.
Oh, so cool. It's so cool how they did it, the black and white, and then, you know, the changeover to the colour. But I'm sure you remember Chucky in there from the coloured version.
Definitely, yeah. He was fun.
Yeah, loved him in that one. And then we also had his own dedicated scare zone in 2018. That was Revenge of Chucky. That was in Hollywood. And this was obviously stages, roaming characters. We also had the Chucky Improv as well, which was, I think, was a fan favourite.
I wasn't keen on that zone, were you?
It was okay. I didn't stop in it too long. I kind of took where the stage was, where the kind of actor was, I kind of took a right a little bit. So I just watched him roasting everybody else.
Yeah, I stood and watched him for a bit. I just didn't, I don't know. I wouldn't have thought it would have won Scare Zone of the Year.
Yeah, Scare Zone of the Year for Halloween Horror Nights 28. But this was obviously, I guess that was a bit of a sore one. For me, just because, I mean, there was Twisted Tradition was there, which was one of my favorites of all time. Killer Clowns was there as well.
Yeah.
And then actually, but what else? The Harvest as well, that was in Darby. And then Vamp as well. Vamp 85 was there as well that year. So that was actually a really strong year.
That was a strong year for Scare Zones, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, actually, when you think about it, I think it might, it is a little bit surprising. It did win Scare Zone of the Year. But yeah, that was the, that was the winner. Maybe it was like the improv kind of version of it, I think.
Maybe
people did take to that. But yeah, a lot of people remember that one. Also, 2021, 2022, towards the Fear Factor Theater, rest in peace, and then Men in Black area, we had the Good Guys box. You can go in and take a photo op. Me and Tim had a picture in there, I think in 2021, I believe. And then we also had, not just recently, back in the fall, we had the Good Guys, the food truck, which had a very, very tasty burger you really enjoyed, right?
I can hand on heart say that was the worst burger I have ever ate in my life. It was so bad.
So I think we touched on this before, but I never tried it because it just doesn't look appetizing. What was it like? It had like cereal and then like what, strawberry sauce on it? What even was it?
Yeah, I'm one of those people that likes weird concoctions of food. I always give stuff a try, especially with, you know, like a limited edition run or something like that. But it was like a normal beef burger. It did have belly pork on the top, like crispy pork with jalapenos, but then it also had the cereal and the strawberry sauce, which just did not go with the rest of the burger.
See, everything sounded great up until, you know, the weird stuff on it. The pork belly, the jalapeno sounds great, but yeah, not for me. I've got to make sure the food looks okay.
It looked nothing like the promotional photos either.
Yeah,
it looked like someone
that
put it together then punched it.
Perfect. So that is pretty much it. We've gone all the way up to 2022 this year. So yeah, what are you thinking, Gary? Pretty extensive history really featured at Horror Nights all the way back to Fright Nights.
Yeah, probably a lot more than most people think. When you sort of see Twitter now, a lot of sort of the Horror Nights community are sort of new to the event. They maybe it's probably only been going, you know, since what Stranger Things years. So even for me, who started going at 25, I didn't really know much of his lore and appearances before then. But it's pretty crazy. He's been in there since the start.
Yeah, yeah. No, they've really utilized their, like I've said it a few times, their catalog of horror. Why not dip in to their own, you know, their own? I'm sure. I don't know who they have to, I guess, license him from. But I mean, it's US. It's, you know, it's the US. It's sci-fi. It's basically owned by NBC, Comcast, you know, so
yeah.
they probably don't have to pay too much, if anything, you know, to actually license him, you know, for the event, because they technically own him. The company owns him, basically. But yeah, so that is Orlando. So that is, we are just strictly Orlando. So I just want to touch on Hollywood very, very quickly, just because Hollywood is probably more extensive than Orlando is. Actually, so they did have a lot of improv opportunities there early on, and there was also a show. It was called Chucky's Insult Emporium. So basically, it was a sit down show where, and again, it's kind of like what the Orlando is, improv. They had a Chucky on a stage, almost like a Punch and Judy show that you get at the beach.
Yeah.
So he's sat in like a Punch and Judy sort of window thing, and he's then just like insulting people, and it's usually with the times. Like, but you know how Bill and Ted did pop culture? He would talk about pop culture, you know, at the time, you know. Yeah, so we had scare zones there, we've had mazes there, we've had actually had a show then. That show ran for 5 years, I believe, not consecutively, but it ran for 5 years. And also they've had three terror trams. Now for them, a terror tram is really big because it's their, I guess, unique take on the horror that Orlando can't do. They get you on the tram and they take you out to, you know, locations with scare actors and props and things like that. But he's actually hosted, I believe, three times.
Wow.
Yeah, three different times. So you think of Chucky just in HHN lore, it's huge, huge, huge. He's been in mazes, he's been in shows, he's been on the parade, he's been in scare zones, you know, it's used very, very extensively as well. And then also in Japan, this is crazy as well, because Japan, so 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, so six consecutive years, Chucky had a maze at Halloween Horror Nights Japan from 2014. So yeah, six consecutive years, and only one of them was a repeat maze.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were all different every single time. So yeah, so combining all three parks there, Orlando, Hollywood, and Japan, yeah, Chucky is used extensively as well. Now, question for you as well. So if Chucky was used, and I don't think this will happen personally, I think it would just be like a maze, but if he was used as more of like an icon or the MC or the, I guess, mascot for the year, would you be okay with that? Is that something that you think would work?
That's actually a tough one. Possibly, I can see him being used as, you know, the mascot / icon, because it was the first announcement.
Yep.
And we got it really, really early. So that also takes us into the next segment we wanted to talk about as well. We saw, was it the director of Megan? Was that who tweeted it, saying that he can't wait to go to Horror Nights this year?
Yeah, they're so funny too, because they're like roasting people and then giving like real snarky answers to people, and it's just funny.
Yeah, and then the last time somebody tweeted something like that, it was The Weeknd, and we got a Weeknd house. So Megan, there's obviously another doll, which is another horror movie come out. So could this year be the year of the dolls, you think?
Yeah, why not? You know, that's a good... I think the you know, like dolls, ventriloquist dummies, like stuff. I think that is I think a lot of people, that does scare a lot of people.
Yeah,
right? It's very, very creepy.
Fear of clowns, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we talked about, I think Saw 10 also is coming out this year. I don't think they're going to go for that many IPs in that sort of realm, but you know, Saw 10, obviously Billy's there. I know we've had Dead Silence also at HHN before. We've had Dollhouse of the Dam. Could that get maybe like a reboot or a prequel or a sequel? That was really creepy. Like dolls nailed to the wall and stuff like that. It was really creepy. Barbed wire everywhere on dolls and stuff. Yeah. So, and then the reason I mentioned Chucky as being like the, I guess, the mastermind or the icon is because we did have, you know, Cindy. Now, we talked about this, like, in terms of, like, the icon era, I think that's well and truly in the rearview mirror. I don't think we're going to get a true icon now for a while, just because the IPs are so heavy, the crowds are so heavy because of the IPs. So I don't think that's going to be anytime soon. But we do have a lost icon. It's Cindy. She has featured in... she has featured in mazes, scare zones, anniversary mazes. So just to kind of a brief history, I'm sure a lot of us are all aware now. So but back in Halloween Horror Nights 12, which was Islands of Fear, the caretaker was not supposed to be the original icon. It was supposed to be Cindy. She was a demented daughter of a mortuary owner, which is Paul Bearer, and she was supposed to be the icon of the event. So the event's kind of idea or premise was that every land or zone of Islands of Adventure that year would be ruled over by her playthings. So it was her toys that she was, you know, basically playing with and doing, and everything was from her twisted mind. Obviously, that event was shelved because of circumstances that was going on in Florida at the time. They were supposed to pick it up again in Halloween Horror Nights 20, I believe. I think that was confirmed by the tribute store last year, but again, it was shelved again. So who knows? I don't think it will be, but you never know. There could be a return of Cindy, because that would kind of link that toy doll theme if it's her kind of mind that she's playing with.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be, I would be happy with the event being that themed.
Yeah, and you'd be okay with that, with her as the icon?
Yeah, even Chucky. To be fair, it's, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world. I mean, if they're going to bench, you know, the main icons for a while, every year has a sort of mascot. Even if we don't have that icon, it has the standout thing. So I'm just happy to get a Horror Nights. I'll go regardless.
I think if they do it, I'll go ahead.
I don't think I would go crazy with like the Chucky merch. I don't think, like, you know what I'm like for like Horror Nights merch. I'm still about like, you know, like the house shirt and stuff, but I don't think I would go as crazy as normal for like Chucky stuff. Because like you say, he is good, he is fun, but he's not up there with the big guys in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with that for sure. And like I've said this word a few times, it's sort of like a renaissance of the slasher era, if you will. You know, we're getting Chucky this year. We had Michael last year. We had Leatherface the year before. So honestly, if they can give us an original, because we've had iterations of it, if they can give us an original standalone Friday the 13th or a standalone Nightmare on Elm Street, how good would that be in like a soundstage?
I was just about to say, if we've had all those guys in recent years, coming next has to be Freddy or Jason. Has to be.
Can you imagine? Just like the original. Well, I mean, Friday the 13th would be tricky because Jason's not in the first one. But if you did, even if you did number two or just title, you could title it Friday the 13th anyway. I mean, it's Jason. We all know Jason, right, from Friday the 13th. So
can you title it like that? Friday the 13th in 3D.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine that with the 3D glasses? Like that'd
have been so good. Do it full on like retro. You know, the red and blue 3D vibe, that would be so cool.
Yeah, I think a Nightmare on Elm Street, one of my good friends, Matt, he's desperate for a Nightmare on Elm Street, a Freddy mix. Just the original movie would just be fantastic. I think they could do wonders with that.
Yeah, because the first house I ever went through was Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, okay, 25, right. Yeah, that was good. Apart from like, the screen at the end, but
yeah,
that was good. That was fun. I liked how they did... you know, all Freddy, then all Jason, and then they kind of mixed them together. That was really cool how they did their own kind of universes first, then mixed them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Big slashers making a comeback.
My vibe altogether with the 80s horror. That's what drove me into horror in the first place, those original slashers. So,
yeah, because they're all making a comeback appearance too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Halloween, you know, Halloween's obviously just finished their 3 movie. You know, reboot, if you will, or legacy horror. Scream, you know, is back again. Chucky TV series, you know, so we are getting all these. Saw's going to be back for its 10th installment as well. But
and there is also a Friday the 13th in October this year as well.
Yeah. What's the other one? Evil Dead as well this year again. So all these real classic. There's a reason people like them. There's a reason they keep coming back, you know, so... Cool. Give me. I want. I want Nightmare on Elm Street. Give me that soon.
But I think that just about wraps up this little episode. We just, again, you know, we left it far too late to do a Chucky announcement episode. So we thought we would just discuss Chucky and get Ash back to doing what he does best with the history stuff. Up until, like, we start getting announcements, even though we have, you know, already had one announcement, we'll probably get a couple of history episodes out.
Yeah.
Luke's going to do another one of his quizzes. That was fun when we did that.
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
We'll maybe try and do a couple of live streams on YouTube and just hang out with people. We're excited for this announcement season starting pretty soon. Horror Night Nightmares will soon have the speculation maps, which we can discuss. And hop over to the Discord. The link is on our Twitter. And come and hang out, and there's loads of people talking and chatting in there. I can't keep up with it sometimes.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Make an effort to be more active in there, but sometimes it's just hard to catch up on everything.
Yeah.
But Ash, where can people find us?
Yep, so we are at RIP Tour Podcast. That's going to be on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. We're going to try and, we've said this a couple of times, we're going to try and beef up that YouTube as well. Gary mentioned the Discord. We do have Spreadshirt as well if you want to support us as well. We don't make a profit on anything. What we do goes back into the show, obviously, what little we make, obviously. That would just be, and it's cool to see people wearing kind of merchandise.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
The show as well.
And Ash is right, it does go back into the show. Everything we've made doing this show has gone into making it better, whether it be, you know, the software we pay for to edit and host and record the show, you know, microphones, equipment, all that stuff. It really does help when you guys support the show that way, any way you can, really. We are really grateful for it and all the listeners we get. And it was awesome because obviously I missed out at the Horror Nights 30 handing out buttons and stuff, and it was cool to be at Horror Nights 31 last year and handing out buttons. And I remember I was in the line for Blumhouse just literally by myself, and two people turned around, they're like, oh my god, it's RIP Tour, and it's just so cool. I got to talk to them in the line all the way through, and I was dishing out buttons. It was just a fun time.
Yeah. It is definitely surreal, people, you know, people who listen and kind of interact with us in the park and stuff. And yeah, we are very approachable. We love people coming, you know, come and say hello, and yeah, keep coming. We'll have more buttons this year.
Definitely, yeah. And speaking of fans and listeners, we have a couple of call-ins. So first, I want to start off with Liam. Let's see what he has to say about Chucky.
Hey everyone, it's Liam / It's Kelno from Twitter. First of all, just wanted to say happy birthday to Gary. And second of all, I just wanted to say I am super happy we got an early announcement with Chucky. I'm really looking forward to how this new house will be, and really looking forward to see how different it will be in comparison to the older house and the previous scare zone. I'm really obviously hoping this new house will take it in a complete new direction and kind of focus more on the series. But I'm really hoping it still retains its, like, you know, old classic elements of having scares to do with toys, etc. But I'm looking to hear your guys' thoughts on that as well. Cheers.
That's a great point, actually, because I think he made the same point as us. You know, he's excited that it's the TV show. But will it still keep that kind of, I guess, rustic feel of the old Child's Play? Which I think he probably will. They do a good job, you know, of conveying that.
Can I say one thing though? I am so excited to hear the TV show theme tune. How cool is that score?
Yeah, I like the TV show.
It's really ancient. Creepy. It's so, yeah, cool.
We can, and so just before the TV show as well, what I really like about it, we can go over this after listeners' calls, but it's the series one especially. I love the kind of Halloween feel because it's in New Jersey and all the trees, the leaves are turning brown and falling off, and everyone's trick or treating. He just looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Again, as well with the first episode of season two, that was set on Halloween as well, which I thought was really, yep, cool. Yeah. And next up, we have our boy Zeus. He is he keeps an eye on everyone on the Discord for us and makes sure there's no troublemakers causing
all of this.
What is up, RP Tour Podcast? Happy New Year. Happy late Christmas. It's been such a crazy 3 months. I've had no time to cover HHN at all. But now, let's put that aside, talk about HHN 32. This last year was great. Let's make this one the best. Now, we have one house already announced, Chucky. But let's start talking about speculations of the next houses. I feel like Ghostface needs his day. We need a screen house as soon as possible. Maybe a Halloween 3. Maybe a Terrifier 2. Something of that sort. Maybe even the new Megan. We can do a Blumhouse episode 4 Blumhouse with Megan and The Conjuring or The Nun or whatever is coming out this year. But let's see what you guys think. See y'all soon. See y'all in the fog.
Now, I'd be so happy with Blumhouse 4, especially with what they knocked out last year.
Yeah, no, I agree as well. In terms of like a Ghost Space, I can't see them pitting Ghost Space and Chucky in the same year personally, unless they were marketed together. Speculation. Megan is a good shout because what we've already touched on earlier. I don't know. I'd love to see The Last of Us as well. I know it's HBO. It's probably a long shot. I know they produce it or distribute it. I don't know who the actual company is who have the rights to it. I'm not sure, but yeah, speculation. I'm looking forward now. It's speculation season, announcement season, so things are going to get hot pretty soon.
Yeah, definitely. It's a dangerous thing as well, because once you start talking about one house, it sort of snowballs with a ton of people. And
yeah,
I don't want to get into that whole remit of us spreading false information. So I tend to just follow with what like Horror Night Nightmares is putting out, because you know they're the guys that troll the forums and put the pieces together and stuff like that. So I just have fun doing that sort of thing. But it is nice to have like wishful houses that you would like to come to the event.
Terrifier sounds cool as well. Have you seen Terrifier at all?
I haven't. No, I haven't.
No. I haven't either.
I've got like a list of movies that I want to watch, and that's on there. I just haven't got round to it. But
yeah,
one of my top houses I would love to come would be Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. I'd love to see that come. And you know, Mike Aiello has confirmed that he would love to bring that to Horror Nights. And the fact that it hasn't yet is, you know, doubtful. So maybe it's one day. I'd love to hear that score while I'm waiting in line.
Oh boy, yeah.
But I think that's going to do it. That's going to be it. Do you reckon?
Yeah, that's it. Do you want to touch on the show? Spoiler free, just for a minute.
Yeah. It's been a while since I watched season one. To be fair with you, I did actually have on my phone a list of some of the notable kills, because there is some pretty good kills in the show.
I think there's one kill in there that I'm trying to be as spoiler free as possible, and I'm going to mention the I don't know if you're going to say the same thing in terms of a memorable kill that I'd love to see in here. It involves a piece of kitchen equipment.
Yeah, that's one of the notable. And one of them is the hospital kill.
Yes, yes.
That's pretty gruesome.
Yes. Like I said, it did, yes. I'm not going to give too much away. The hospital one, there's one in the kitchen, which is really, really good as well. And then the finale, again, this is spoiler free, you know, the finale is, it's like a part of it is a movie theater, which is a big, big, obviously part of the ending of the show, right? The movie theater at the end.
Yeah.
And that should be an easy one to replicate, in my opinion, just because from Horror Nights 30, a puppet theater, captive audience, they had a part of it. You walk through and it was like the seats of a movie theater. So they probably just use those again, I can probably imagine, for that. For that theatre scene at the end, that'd just be an easy one to do, I think.
And also, in the end, the final of season one, there was 72 Chuckies.
Oh, right, yes, for the house. Yes.
So imagine if they pull that famous scare that they do, that they did in Us, and they did it in Halloween.
Yep.
With where they have the characters all in one room and one of them's real. So,
yep.
You know, that's used quite often. So if there's 72 Chuckies, that would be pretty cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. What I would do, I always say, if something's coming to HHN anyway, definitely watch the source material. It's just, I guess, common sense, right? Just to do that. But if you're not a big fan of Chucky, a big fan of Child's Play, I'm not anyway. I do enjoy them, and I'm not a massive fan, but I loved the TV show. It's got a great vibe to it, so definitely check it out if you weren't thinking about doing it.
Yeah, if it was sort of like the horror aspect mixed with like what I would call like a teen drama, sort of like Riverdale vibe.
Exactly.
Because it is like the young teenagers who star in it. But I guess that's how the draw in the, you know, the newer generation of people. But I really, really did enjoy the show, and I've just started season two today, and I'll probably have it finished by tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything else today, so I've been binging it. But yeah, I'm enjoying season two as well. It's a fun time.
And I know what you're like. You'll end up rewatching this in the, you know, late summer, ready for your trip over.
Oh yeah, I'll again. Every IP I watch before Horror Nights, I'll watch it just before I come. Then I mean, I'm quite sad when I do this, but I'm making notes on things that are notable in the show, just to jog my memory before I go into the house, so I can sort of look for them when I'm in the house.
No, that's good. No, that's good as well, because what they're trying to convey is a lot of the times for IPs is screen accurate stuff, right? So
yeah,
it's always good to write down stuff that, oh, let's try and catch that in the house as well, see how they can actually, because they do a great job of things that you think, oh, how on earth are they going to do this? Well, they always kind of blow you away with how they actually,
for me now, the IPs are sort of about that immersiveness instead of the scares. That's 100%. What the originals are for. The originals are to walk through and get terrified, but for me, the IPs now, especially with the budget that they have, is all about being immersed in that world for me. So
completely agree. I think Ghostbusters is the prime example as well.
Yeah, and just Stranger Things.
Just walk you through one of your favorite movies, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Halloween last year, even if it wasn't, you know, the best house of the year, it's one of my favorite movies. So just walking through the, you know, a screen accurate representation is just everything I want.
Definitely. But yeah, so are we done for real this time?
We are done for real, I think, unless you want to stay on for a little bit.
not too bad for the British takeover.
Yeah, British takeover. So it's so funny because during the week I had a joke, because all of us were available for today, so I joked that the four horsemen finally ride again, and here we are with two of us.
Two of the four isn't bad. But we have made this new rule this year, guys, where the minimum required to do a show is going to be two. So if the other two can't make it, the other two are still going to record so we can get more content out, because normally we try and hold off until there's at least three of us, but we're going to go. We're going to drop it again to the two rule. And then eventually it's probably just going to be a solo race. But in the next couple of months, you'll just get one of us talking to ourselves, like being mad men. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for sticking along, you know, through this huge break. But we're back. We're back in the office. We're back working. And we're going to be putting out content all year. With no more breaks this year, apart from when I'm over there experiencing Horror Nights. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.